On the morning show, I'm Kate Archer. Kent, we're tracking the developments in Superior this morning as the massive fire at Husky Energy is out. Superior Mayor Jim Payne has announced this morning that the evacuation order has been lifted. We'll be going to the Twin Ports to talk with WPR's Danielle Kading after 7:40. First up, we're getting the epic story, though, of the dinosaurs, the origin, the habitats, their extinction, the whole enchilada, their legacy today in our museums and in our movie blockbusters. We'll have a cutting-edge paleontologist with us. But first, let's take a moment to feel some fabulous momentum on this final day of our spring membership drive. Cheryl Gasser here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
Your contribution keeps informative talk programming on WPR strong.
And again, the first day or the last day of the drive, what a day it is. We have this dollar for dollar match going on. So your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, every gift in any amount will be doubled.
And your gift makes a big difference because the single largest share of funding for WPR programs comes from people like you. There are so many good reasons to give, so give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have this dollar for dollar match in effect all day. Current members have pooled resources to encourage you to support WPR programs today, and so far 58 people have gotten their donation matched, including Linda from Whitewater, who says, I love WPR. Well, Linda, we love you right back. Thanks for your support. We couldn't do it without you. And you can get your donation match. Team up with your fellow listeners like Linda and all the wonderful contributors to double your support for the programs you rely on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a higher quality product than you'll find anywhere else. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It is an amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. Make your contribution for independent news, information, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy here on the Ideas Network and Wisconsin Public Radio. Make that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform, programs that inspire you, programs that entertain and engage on any time you want.
And what makes it all possible? It's you. You make it possible. Listener support is the single largest piece of the budget. People who contribute make WPR happen.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, your membership makes a difference. Become a member with your pledge, whether your gift is $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount and payment method is right for you is the right thing to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What are some things we like to double?
Tennis. I love a doubles match.
I think I'd have to go with double stuffed Oreos.
You don't want double vision.
Your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. You definitely want to double that.
That's right. Doubling your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio is a great thing, and it's easy to do right now. Your donation of any amount will be matched dollar for dollar by a generous group of current members, including Catherine and Lyman Lyons from McFarland. Today's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have $60,000 to match. Don't wait. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Cheryl Gasser. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And giving is so easy. Making a contribution to WPR really takes just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programs. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And that amount, whatever it is, will be matched because our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect the last day of our spring membership drive. It is a great time to support the WPR programs you love. Here on Fridays, Kate talks about Wisconsin in the 6 o'clock hour. Always something interesting this hour, dinosaurs, and then an update from Superior. And then at 8 o'clock, it's the Week in Review. You get so much from Wisconsin Public Radio. And now we're asking you to give back. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can support the programs you value and ask for your new artist mug. This year's mug features a caribou made by Karen Ann Hoffman, a Native American beater. Ask for your beautiful new artist mug when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Dinosaurs rule, but they didn't mount their global revolution all at once. We've got the epic story of the dinosaurs on the morning show. Steve Brusati is a paleontologist at the University of Edinburgh. He graduated from the University of Chicago, earned his doctorate from Columbia. He writes frequently for Scientific American and is the resident paleontologist for the BBC's Walking with Dinosaurs. And his new book is called The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs, A New History of a Lost World. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me, and good afternoon from Scotland.
Well, Steve, you know, when we see the dinosaurs, we see them in all their glory, that they're meant for the big screen. They've got everything. I mean, they're the whole package, but they really didn't start out this way that we learn in your book.
That's right. The dinosaurs were an empire. They ruled the Earth for over 150 million years. They were the dominant animals before humans came onto the scene. But like all empires, they didn't just get started and spread around and rise up to power overnight. You know, as they say, right, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it's the same as with the dinosaurs. Their origin story is one of a long, tortured rise to the top. They started small and humble. The very first dinosaurs were cat-sized animals with awkward bodies and long, gangly limbs that were living in the aftermath of a terrible mass extinction when almost all life died. And for 50 million years, those first dinosaurs remained in the shadows. They were outnumbered and being outcompeted by their crocodile cousins until really they were saved by another mass extinction as supervolcanoes started to erupt, poison the environment, led to runaway global warming, wiped out a lot of these early crocodiles, and permitted the dinosaurs to pass on through. And well, then they became dominant.
They were dodging bullets at every turn. I mean, and just making it, eking it out. But how did they go from cat size to T-Rex size?
It took a long time. And it's an amazing story when you think about it, because when most of us envision dinosaurs, I think the image that comes to mind is T-Rex or Brontosaurus, these enormous earth-shaking animals. But the dinosaurs didn't start that way. The first dinosaurs looked very different, and they had to navigate tens of millions of years in order to rise up. And this was a very exciting time in the history of Earth. When the dinosaurs started out, they lived on a supercontinent, Pangaea. All of the world's land was gathered together into one. It stretched from pole to pole. There were vast deserts across much of that supercontinent. And then the supercontinent broke up. These pieces drifted apart from each other over time. Climates changed, sea levels rose and fell, and the dinosaurs were along for the ride. And living in that world, they became resilient. They became very diverse. New types of dinosaurs living on all of these land masses as the continents were moving apart. And that's how we got T-Rexes. And that's how we got Brontosaurus. That's how we got dinosaurs that were the size of Boeing 737 airplanes. It was an incredible amount of diversity that the dinosaurs developed.
So the size of airplanes, give us a size, a scale of how gigantic T-Rex was.
T-Rex was, as far as we know, the biggest purely meat-eating animal that has ever lived on land in the whole 4.5 billion year history of Earth. It was the ultimate killing machine. And I think if you go down to, say, the Field Museum in Chicago, where for a lot of your listeners, I'm sure it's just a very quick drive across the border to my home state of Illinois.
Yep.
Or if you go to the Dinosaur Discovery Museum in Kenosha, where my friend Thomas Carr has a very nice exhibit, you look at the skeleton, you can stand under the skeleton of a T-Rex, and you can feel its power and its awesomeness. This is an animal the size of a bus, 40 feet long, 7 or 8 tons. It could crunch through the bones of its prey. It bit so hard. To me, it I know it's cliched, but it's my favorite dinosaur, and that's why I have two chapters in the new book, The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs, that are about tyrannosaurs like T-Rex.
It's kind of like picking a favorite child because you study lots of dinosaurs.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I go into schools all the time and I talk to kids all the time about dinosaurs, and I'm always asked which one is my favorite. And I'll tease the kids a little bit by asking how many of you have siblings, and some will raise their hands. And then I'll say, OK, has anybody ever asked your parents which one of you is their favorite? And some will start laughing and raise their hands. And I'll say, I feel the same about dinosaurs. There are so many fascinating types. It's really hard to choose. And I've been very fortunate to work on a lot of dinosaurs, to discover a lot of new dinosaurs and describe and name a number of new species. But when it comes down to it, just nothing beats the sheer amazingness.
Near the end of your book, you write that sometimes you just have to hold fossils in your hands and think deeply about them as living, breathing animals. Why is that important? Why does that bring clarity?
Fossils are the clues that we have to these vanished worlds of millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of years ago. And paleontologists like me, we will go to crazy lengths to find fossils. We will go anywhere in the world where there might be fossils. And that's because they are so important. This is the only way we really know how the Earth has changed over time. And that is why we do what we do. I mean, dinosaurs are incredible. You can't fail to be moved by a dinosaur if you see one in a museum or you see one on television or in Jurassic Park or what have you. But they're more than just movie monsters. They're more than just a childhood fascination. These were real animals that dominated the world for a long time. They were real creatures that had to deal with real moments of climate and environmental change. And we have a lot to learn from them. But to do that, we have to find their fossils.
Well, it's interesting that you almost have to act like a detective looking through papers of research groups going out in the 1970s to figure out where you should zero in on when you're digging.
That's right. I love to call myself and my fellow paleontologists detectives in deep time. It sounds kind of cool. And I'm a big true crime fan, and I love detective novels and all of that. So maybe I'm being a little bit overexcited there. But there is a link, because we are trying to investigate things that happened a long time ago. And we are relying on limited evidence, on clues, on these fossils, these bones and teeth and footprints the dinosaurs left behind. We're relying on those things to piece together what happened. And we will go anywhere to find fossils. And a lot of times that means going deep into the literature, looking at what explorers found in the 1970s, even far back in time beyond that. It means going into looking at geological maps, trying to find out where the right types of rocks are in the world. And that sort of detective work there has taken me to China and to Brazil and across Europe and across North America and now here in Scotland where I'm based.
And you've actually described and named 15 dinosaurs, several of which are different species of T-Rex. And one of those is actually a T-Rex that was covered in feathers.
That's right.
What gives?
Isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I've been very, very fortunate to have a lot of great colleagues like Thomas Carr at Carthage College. We've named a few new dinosaurs together, and he's also a specialist on tyrannosaurs. And I've worked with others. I've named raptor dinosaurs and all sorts. And some of the most fascinating to me are these ones with feathers, and that includes tyrannosaurs. We know that tyrannosaurs had feathers, and we know a lot of other dinosaurs did too. And that's why we know that birds, today's birds, evolved from dinosaurs. And it's real. It's not made up. It's not something artists just do to make their pictures of dinosaurs look prettier or weirder. We actually know that a lot of dinosaurs have feathers because we fossils. We have the skeletons, thousands of dinosaur skeletons, mostly from China, preserved so immaculately that the feathers are there. And that is mind-blowing.
Believe it or not, dinosaurs had to break out of their early slump in life and evolve to be the enormous dominant animals that have larger-than-life personas worthy of huge careers in Hollywood today. Steve Brusati is telling us all about them. He's a paleontologist at the University of Edinburgh, author of The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs, A New History of a Lost World. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What fascinates you about dinosaurs? When did you first realize these long-gone animals captured your attention? What do you want to know about them? Call in, email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In about 20 minutes, we'll be going to Superior to get the latest on the refinery situation there. The mayor of Superior announcing this morning that he's lifting evacuation orders for residents. Right now, though, we're talking about the evolutionary significance of the iconic dinosaur with paleontologist Steve Brusati. Before we dive back into the conversation, let's get the latest on our final day, final hours of our spring membership drive. Cheryl Gasser here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
This is the last day of the WPR spring membership drive. And so if you've been meaning to give, make haste. Now is the time because the drive ends at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight. And your gift is so important because it's listener donations that are the single largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And we have this dollar-for-dollar match going on today. It is a great time to give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This is such an exciting day here at WPR, and not just because we're talking about dinosaurs over breakfast. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have this incredible dollar-for-dollar match in effect. This means that any amount, a gift of any amount, will be doubled by a very generous group of current members. Want to encourage you to become a member and make a pledge. So make this a very big day for the WPR programs that you care about, programs like The Morning Show. Double the impact of your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You turn to the Ideas Network for smart conversations about compelling topics. You can count on hearing in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every single day. Because WPR is listener-supported public radio, your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really helps you make these discussions possible.
We heard from Hannah in Madison this morning. She says, I've wanted to donate to public radio since I started listening in 2012. Now I finally have a full-time job and I can give back to the best part of my day. Wow, Hannah, thank you so much. Because Wisconsin Public Radio is the best part of your day, make a contribution. Get it doubled during this final day of our spring membership drive. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on each day. And that is why your support during this spring membership drive is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You listen to WPR year-round, spring, summer, winter, fall, and we're asking you to donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. Make the decision once, and you'll make ongoing contributions of $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
Your sustaining membership will always be current, and it cuts down on all that paperwork, things coming in the mail. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kelly and Mike from Oconomowoc say, this past holiday season was the first year we missed our annual donation. Oh no. And they're now setting up monthly donations, becoming sustainers so they don't forget again. Kelly and Mike, thanks so much for your support. And don't forget, our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect on this last day of our spring membership drive. We have $43,000 left to go. Lots of room for you to get in on this wonderful opportunity. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support the programs you care about, the programs you enjoy, with your favorite hot beverage in hand, with the 2018 WPR Artist Mug. Such a gorgeous mug. This year's artwork is an image of a caribou made with traditional Native American beadwork. Ask for your lovely new mug when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, if you're already a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Why not make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose? You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your new monthly amount will be matched dollar for dollar for the first year.
So give right now. Make that contribution. Get it matched. 888-202-2552-WPR.org. Your support is powerful. It makes a difference. And thank you so much. How did T-Rex and its closest relatives shoot up to such mind-boggling sizes? That is the question that paleontologist Steve Brusati grapples with in his work with fossils. His new book is The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What ways do you like to experience traveling back in time with dinosaurs? Do you prefer museums with fossils, or do you like to see on the big screen your dinosaurs? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We heard from Ken from Black River Falls, who called in to ask if you've heard, Steve, of the Hadrosaurus, which was discovered in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Good question, Ken. Yes. Some of the very first dinosaurs ever found in North America, and I believe the very first dinosaur skeleton, a good skeleton ever found anywhere, were found in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And I've studied some of those dinosaurs, in particular one called Dryptosaurus, which is a tyrannosaur. So it's a very close cousin of T-Rex. It was living in eastern North America at the same time that T-Rex was out stalking western North America in what is now Montana and the Dakotas. And Dryptosaurus was a big animal, top of the food chain animal, a mean, nasty predator, almost like T-Rex, but just a little bit smaller in size, but still an animal that would have been a real nasty creature to run into.
And I don't know my New Jersey geography as much anymore, but you're standing in New York City. You can look across and see the Palisades. Is this the area that we're talking about?
Good catch there on the Palisades, and I talk about that in the book a little bit. That the Palisades, that's the big cliff. Yeah, if you're in Manhattan and you're looking westward across the Hudson into New Jersey, you can see that a lot of New Jersey on that side of the river is actually perched up on a cliff that's about 100 feet high, and that's the cliff that the George Washington Bridge is built into. That's where the foundations of that bridge are built into. That cliff is formed from rock, and that rock is formed from lava and magma underground that cooled from volcanoes that were erupting 200 million years ago, right at the same time that Pangaea was breaking apart. The supercontinent was cracking, and you had these volcanoes welling up through the cracks. That's the thing that caused this big mass extinction that killed off a lot of the early crocodile cousins, which spared the dinosaurs, and which allowed the dinosaurs to then sail into the next period of time, the Jurassic period. So if you're in New York City and you're looking across the river, those rocks record a turning point in history. They record the moment in time, the catastrophe that paradoxically permitted the dinosaurs to rise up and become the amazing animals that we all know.
Let's go to Mary now, joining us from Menominee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Every summer I go out to Ekalaka, Montana, the last weekend in July. They have a two-day event called the Shindig. Saturday they have lectures from experts from all around the world. And then Sunday we go out in the field and they let us experience digging for whatever we can find.
Wow, Mary, such a great event. How long have you been going to that?
They've been holding it for 5 years so far, and I've been lucky enough to do all five.
What do you find out there?
I find mostly fish scales and turtle shell pieces, but they have found leg bones. The people that live out there go out in advance all summer and find things, and then they set us up for success.
Well, Steve, amateur paleontologists are certainly a help to your field. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. And I know all about the shindig in Ekalaka there, Mary. And you're really fortunate to be able to take part in that, 'cause I know it's a great event. I've worked out in Ekalaka before with a crew from the Burpee Museum. That's the museum down in Rockford, Illinois, just south of the border with Wisconsin. And I tell some of those stories in the book, actually, about working with the Burpee Museum out in Ekalaka. So tiny Ekalaka, just a few hundred people. It makes an appearance in my new book, The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs. And it is one of the best places in the world to find dinosaurs. And you've seen it, Mary. You've seen it yourself. You've walked those badlands. You've collected the bones. You've done the detective work. And it sounds to me, I can hear your enthusiasm for it. It's just a real addictive thing to go out and find your own fossils. And that's one of the great aspects of paleontology. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to be a professor. You don't need, 10 years of training to go and find a fossil. Anybody can do it. If you have a good set of eyes, a nice pair of shoes, and some patience and some enthusiasm. And that's just not true of most sciences. Most of us can't just walk into a chemistry lab and do some complex experiment. But with paleontology, so many of the most important fossils these days are not found by people like me that are employed at universities, but they're found by hikers, by farmers, by construction workers, and even by children sometimes. So hopefully this summer, if you're going back out there, Mary, maybe you'll find a T-Rex. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Keep on digging, Mary. Thanks for the call. Steve, your description of that incredible event that is really relatable, talking about an asteroid killing so much of Earth's life is hard to process, feels really abstract. But can you bring us to the day that happened? You write it was the worst day in the history of our planet, from dinosaurs waking up to this violent event and the fallout, devastation. What was going on?
I think it probably was the worst day in the history of our planet. I know that sounds hyperbolic. It sounds like some kind of horrible disaster movie. But I think in this case, it was probably true. This was one day, 66 million years ago, a day that the dinosaurs woke up and they were on top of nature. Dinosaurs were living all over the world, on all the continents. There were probably billions of dinosaurs that woke up that morning. T-Rex was there. Triceratops was there. Lots of other dinosaurs were there. And when they woke up, they would have seen a fireball blasting across the sky. And that was an asteroid. And not just any old normal little asteroid. This was a 6-mile-wide asteroid, a space rock the size of Mount Everest. And it was traveling faster than a jetliner. And it smashed into the Earth with the force of over 1 billion Hiroshima bombs. And in doing so, it punched a crater into the crust that was over 100 miles wide. And instantaneously, it set off a cascade of environmental catastrophes, tsunamis, wildfires, earthquakes, hurricane force winds, and all of these things conspired together to completely reshape the Earth within a matter of minutes, hours, days, and weeks. And dinosaurs, although they had been on top, they had been dominant for over 150 million years, dinosaurs could not cope with that sudden and extreme moment of climate and environmental change. And that's why the dinosaurs aren't with us today.
In what ways did mammals benefit, though, from the fall of the dinosaurs?
Mammals were the ultimate victors there. And that's one of the lessons that we get from studying fossils. Sometimes horrible things happen. Sometimes the Earth changes really quickly. Sometimes climates go out of control. Temperatures rise, sea levels rise or fall, volcanoes erupt, asteroids hit. And a lot of things can die. And oftentimes the things that die are the ones that are on top of the food chain, the ones that have been dominant for so long. And the things that survive are often the things that are smaller, more adaptable, more agile, better able to hide, better able to eat a lot of different types of food. And that's exactly what it was like for our ancestors, some of these furry little mammals that were scurrying around underneath the feet of dinosaurs. They were able to make it through that extinction because they had all of those benefits. And if it wasn't for the dinosaurs dying out, then our ancestors probably would have never gotten their chance. And so quickly after the dinosaurs disappear, we start to see fossils of the very first primates, the animals that led to us. So the end of dinosaurs paved the way for us, but I think there's also a lesson in there because the dinosaurs were on top before we were. Well, they used to dominate the world and they went extinct. So if it could happen to them, could it happen to us?
Steve, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I hope that many of you might want to check out the new book, The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs.
Steve Brissotti is a paleontologist at the University of Edinburgh, graduated from the University of Chicago, his doctorate from Columbia, writes frequently for Scientific American, and is the resident paleontologist for the BBC's Walking with Dinosaurs. As he said, his book is The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs, A New History of a Lost World. Let's check in now on our spring membership campaign going strong here. Cheryl Gasser in the studio with me. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And it is your support that is so important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
That is how WPR works. The people who use it, you are the single largest source of funding for what we do.
And we have a dollar for dollar match going on all day long. If you've been meaning to give, the time is right now. Do it now on this last day of this drive. Get your donation doubled, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is it, everyone. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, and it bears repeating. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect today. Current members have stepped up and pooled resources to encourage you to support WPR programming today, programs like The Morning Show. Take a minute and think about what WPR means to you, and then take advantage of this match and double your support for the program that you count on when you give, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You never know where you're going to go on the Ideas Network in the mornings. It just might be millions upon millions of years ago hearing the storyline of the dinosaurs. It is all food for thought. It keeps us so knowledgeable, so in the know, and there's always something to enrich our lives on the Ideas Network. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour, you make many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes, make your pledge.
And get that pledge doubled. And don't forget, we have a beautiful new artist mug this year. It's an image of a caribou created in beadwork made by Karen Ann Hoffman of the Oneida Nation. We think you'll love drinking your coffee or tea from this mug. You can ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org, where you can also see a picture of the mug, or 888-202-2552.
Tell me how much you love WPR programs.
I couldn't live without them.
I get weepy just thinking about it.
What if I told you that today your support of WPR programs would go twice as far?
Love it.
Count me in.
Today's a special day at WPR. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have a match up to $60,000 donated by current members, including Don and Roz Ron from Madison. Give now, and your support for the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on will be doubled. Here's how to give.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge to get it doubled. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. Here with Cheryl Gasser. We are asking for your support during this spring membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect on this last day of our spring membership drive. It's never been a better time to support the WPR programs that you love. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And once again, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. The cool thing, your first year of sustaining gifts will be matched dollar for dollar as we watch now more than 100 pledges having come in this morning. Every one of those 108 pledges matched. Get in on it on this final day of the spring membership drive. And thank you so much for your support.